listening to me tonight.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
Tonight's lesson is Joy Comes When I Press Forward. Joy comes when I press forward. Last Wednesday, we dealt with probably my favorite passage in the Bible. And it's referencing Paul's journey from a Pharisee to a converted Pharisee. That Paul takes time through all of his pedigree, all of his spiritual accomplishments, and he says, or religious accomplishments rather, and he says, you know what? When it comes to my spiritual state, none of those accomplishments help me at all. All they did was distracted me. All they did was kept me from the real relationship that Jesus Christ offered me. I tried to get to heaven on my good works. I tried to get to know God by being zealous for the law and by doing the law as best as I could, and it never got me any closer to knowing God in a personal, intimate way. It actually kept me from a relationship with God. That's what that passage is talking about. And so when he says, nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, I have given up everything else and count it all as garbage. I mean, everything that he has worked for years and years and years, all of his status, all of his pedigree, his heritage, all of his tradition, everything that made him who he was saying, when it comes to my relationship with God, I count it as garbage. I count it as garbage. And he says, all I want is to know Christ. And he says, all I want is to know that I belong to him. Then he goes on in verse 9, he says, I tried to make myself acceptable to God on my own and could not and failed. And so then he says, he's making this prayer almost to God, and he's saying that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And then he also says that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. He's looking forward to an eternal future. And all of this is because of knowing God in an intimate way. Well, I want to back up and just read through those verses one more time. Not all of them, but starting in verse 8. And we're going to move forward all the way to verse 16 tonight. He says in verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, from the dead. And then verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So you have this passage before us. And the idea is that, you know, the whole context of the book is that joy comes when we find it in Jesus. We can find happiness in the world, but we can't find joy in the world. It always depends on what's happening in our lives. But joy is something that's internal. It's about a peace with God. It's about a relationship with God. And Paul says, I'm counting on nothing else but my relationship with God. And he even says, not that I've apprehended it, but I am constantly pressing toward that. I'm constantly got that goal in front of me. What kind of goals do you have in front of you? What really drives you? You know, and when will you know that it's finished? When will you think that you're finished? You know, some of the goals that I have in my life, I looked at Lydia the other night and I said, I know that you, things, you know, change over time, but I don't intend to retire. I mean, I'm just not wired that way, personally. I don't know what that will look like. But, I was reflecting on Cindy McLamb and her passing, her quick passing. This past week, and how she was teaching on Sunday, and then she passed away within the week. And I was talking to Lydia about that. That's what brought it up. And I said, I think I would like to do that, to preach and then go home. I think that would be great. There was a certain mountain where there was this like a tombstone that, or this little memorial that was halfway up the mountain. And it was of a previous climber, and this climber had tried to make it to the top, and he died en route to the top. He didn't make it all the way, but he died. And so it had this man's name on the tombstone or on the memorial, and it said the person's name. It said the year he was born, the year he died, and then underneath it had this phrase: "Died climbing." Died climbing. Now, wouldn't you like that to be said about you? Died climbing. You know, there's a sense where if you or I were in that prison cell with the Apostle Paul, that we would probably tell him, Paul, you've done so much for the work of God. You've done so much. And he's looking at us and saying, give me another piece of paper. I need to write another letter to somebody. I can't get anywhere, but I need to do something else. When's that next prison guard coming in here? I've already won this prison guard to Christ. I need to see somebody else come in here. Isn't your time up, son? Why don't you go on and bring that other guy in here? And constantly thinking about the next thing. I wonder when I'm going to get out of here. Because when I get out of here, I'm going to Rome. And then I'm going to the ends of the earth, which we believe he went to. We believe he ministered in Spain, which was the known world at the time. That he went to Rome and then went on to Spain. We just don't have record of it. But we know that that was on his mind. You know, he didn't just settle for what he had accomplished. But he constantly moved forward. And he was constantly climbing, if you will. And you say, what was driving him? That relationship with God. And everything boiled down to that relationship with God for him. He didn't say, these 10 things I dabble in. He said, this one thing I do. One thing I do. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket. You should diversify a little bit. You should spread yourself out. You know, you don't want to strengthen your strengths. You need to strengthen your weaknesses. And you know, you're not that good at this and that and this and that. And you know what Paul would say? God gave me this thing, and I'm going to do this thing to the best of my abilities. God has given me a gift, and I'm going to use it to my greatest potential. And Paul wasn't satisfied with what he had done. So I've got two different things I want to share tonight, and they're kind of disconnected, but they are related. The first thing is how to know Christ better. You know, last week we talked about you know, the fact that Paul wanted to know Christ better. He said, but how? That's the question that we ask sometimes is, yes, but how? You tell me to get to know God better. How? And these are just some practical ways that you and I can get to know Christ better. The first is time. The first is time. You say, this is basic. But we don't understand it. We think that we can get to know God by just coming on to a Sunday morning worship service. We think we can get to know God by just coming to a Bible study. We think we can get to know God by just discussing the scriptures with friends. All of those things are good. But now listen, if you don't take time with God alone, you will never get to know him on a personal level. We talk about what kind of knowledge was Paul talking about in Philippians 3 verse 8, that I might know him. That word know is yada, and it really means an intimate level of knowledge. It's not knowing about God theologically. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, you say, maybe I need to go to the seminary. That's where I'll get to know God. Maybe I need to go to a Bible college. That's where I'll get to know God. No, listen, my friend, I've been there. And you can miss God. year after year after year of being in a seminary or in a Bible college. You can know all of the things about God, but not know Him. You can miss it completely unless you intentionally take time. I never forget. I grew up in Wake Forest, and then I ended up going to seminary at Southeastern, which was in Wake Forest. I remember riding my bike as a fifth grader through the seminary area to go to elementary school at Wake Forest Elementary. Never in my wildest imagination did I believe would I go to school there. But it did become, because I was within bike riding distance, it did become kind of a Bethel for me, a place to meet God. I would ride my bike to get away from the house and from all of the distractions that I had at the house. And as a 15-year-old, even as a 16-year-old, I would ride my bike to the seminary, and they had different fields, and they had different scenic areas, big trees, and just a quiet atmosphere there. Even though the cars were all around it, it was, once you got on the campus there, it was just beautiful and scenic, and I just took my Bible, and I would just sit alone with the Lord, and I remember hours and hours of just walking around in this little secluded area. And it has become a cherished time for me. And then even as an adult, though I moved away and moved to another place and started a family, and when I would go back there, when there were significant times where I just needed to get alone with God, and I would just take time. I don't have anything on. I don't have my phone on. I don't have access to the internet. I don't take really even many books. I just take my Bible and I just set it down and I begin to worship God. And I just, you think of songs like we sang tonight. You think of songs like we sing on Sunday morning. You may want to take a little CD player or an MP3 player, something that you can listen to where you can sing along with the worship music. But that area became a place of solace, a place where you could just get clear of all the distractions and hear God and get to know Him. I'm saying there's something that you're missing in your walk with God if you don't take time to get alone with God. I ended up going to a park in Rollsville. Rollsville has this nice little park. It's got little trails and stuff. And then even off the trails, they have these whole areas where there's just rock. And I don't really like bugs that much, right? So I'm not really that outdoorsy. So I like the cemented trails. And then I get off the beaten path, I'm in the woods, and then I go to where there's a giant rock area where, there's no, but I'm away from all of the distractions. And you just sing to the Lord. You sing to the Lord. Nobody's watching you. Nobody cares. Stop thinking about other people. Nobody cares. You say, people are watching me. No, they're not. They do not care. But you allow the devil to tell you those things. I distinctly remember when I just needed to get. I'm just being transparent right now, okay? I distinctly remember a time where I was just wanting to worship God, and I couldn't get all the distractions out of my head. I could not get the distractions out of my head, and I remembered Susanna Wesley, who was the mother of 19 children. 19 children, probably the greatest woman in church history that I am aware of. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. And quite frankly, when I named Josiah Wesley, I named him after John and Charles and Susanna because she's such a godly woman. But she had a rule. If I have my apron over my head, don't none of y'all little children bother me because I'm spending time with the Lord. And that was her time with God. That was her closet. The Bible said, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your inner chamber and pray in private. And then the Lord who hears you privately will reward you openly. Right? And there's a sense of, what is that inner chamber for you? Well, for this woman who had 19 mouths to feed, 19 children to train and educate, that's when they were educating at home, 19 children with demands, 19 things, 19 individuals, and she still made time for the Lord. She threw her apron over and worshiped and prayed and thought about Scripture and meditated on the Lord. And I think if Susanna can do it with 19 children, surely I can do that. But I remember reflecting on that, and I just could not get the distractions away from me because my mind races like that. It jumps from one thing to the next to the next. And the second that you start praying, you know what the devil does? He hunches himself on your shoulder and he says, "You are wasting your time. Why aren't you doing something productive? You could do nothing more productive than pray. You could do nothing more productive than to get to know your Father." And so I threw a blanket over my head. And I threw my hands in the air. And I had a CD player and it was playing Third Day, or it was playing the worship album of some kind. And I remember when Lydia walked in. She had come home from work. And there I was, on my knees, with a blanket over my head, with my hands in the air, singing to the top of my lungs. And she didn't bother me for a while. She didn't interrupt. But later on, I found out that she had walked in. You know what? She doesn't care. And we shouldn't care either. Whatever it means for you to get alone with God, you need to do. You need to get alone with God. So time. And it won't happen just because you come to a worship service, even though that's good. It won't come just because you go to a Bible study, even though that's good. It won't come just because you spend a lot of times with Christian friends. That's good. It means time alone with your Heavenly Father. You worship God. You say, "I can't sing." Nobody cares, especially if you're by yourself. God doesn't care. You could sing in the car. You could sing in the shower. You could worship God in all kinds of ways. But you worship God. Then you read, it doesn't have to be long, but you read some form of Scripture. And you just meditate on it for a little bit. What does that mean? It just means think it over. Let it speak to you. Let God speak to you from His Word. And then the second T is talk. So you got time, and then you got talk. You're never going to get to know anybody until you start talking. You're never going to get to know anybody if you don't take time. And you just won't get to know them if you refuse to talk. And what does that mean? Open up your heart to the Lord. You say, "Well, He knows it all anyways. Why do I need to talk to Him?" Well, for whatever reason, God has known that we are a communicating people. And there's something that takes place when you share what's on your heart to the Lord, that He is allowed, He is entering into that problem. He is entering into that issue for you. The more childlike you become to your Heavenly Father, the more fatherlike He will become to you. You say, "Well, He's God to me, but I don't know if I would say He's my Father. He's the one who created me, but I'm not sure if He's the one who really wants to spend time with me like a father." But the more childlike you will become to Him, the more fatherlike He will become to you. Talk to Him about your problems. He already knows them. You're not going to surprise Him. Confess your sin to Him. Don't create an alibi. You know, I'm tempted just like you are when you've sinned, when you've messed up, and you say to yourself, "You know, God, I'm sorry for doing this." But you know what it was? It was this person. It was what they did to me. And you know what God won't accept? He won't accept your alibis. He'll accept your confession, and He'll forgive you of that sin. He's faithful to do that every time, 1 John 1:9. But you have to confess it. Stop excusing it and just confess it. We're talking about how to get to know Christ better and better. The third T is trust. You know, all relationships are built on trust. If you stop being able to trust someone, How far does that relationship really take you? It begins to crumble. And so how do you build a relationship with God? You begin to trust Him. And there we go. We go back to this idea of your heavenly Father. Did you know, I got one boy who, even though he's shy in front of a group of people, he's really got a loud personality when he's at home. And that's Caleb. And if you talk to him and you try to get him to open up, he's probably not going to do it. But at home, he is wide open. And, you know, Josiah, he can be, my older one, he can be a little reserved at times. He can be cautious. He can be thinking about, okay, is, you know, can I get away with that or can I do that? Caleb is just, he just does stuff. And I know. I mean, I'm sitting there. I walk in the door and Josiah comes up and hugs me or whatever. And I'm like, where's Caleb? And all of a sudden he's jumping somewhere, you know, from, and I'm, whoa, you know, and he just expects that I'm going to catch him. He just expects that. You know, and you've got these children. I had nieces and nephews that were real small, and I'd be in the pool, and all of a sudden they would jump, and while they were at the peak of their jump, that's when they say, Uncle Josh. And you're like, what? Oh! You know, and they expect you to catch them. Now, that's trust. You know, trust is not just saying, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you over and over again. That's almost like a nervous faith. And there's a lot of believers who have a nervous faith. God, I trust you. God, I trust, you know, I don't tell Lydia I trust her over and over and over again. I just trust her. I trust that she's going to be faithful to her word. I trust when she tells me something, it's the truth. I trust her, with, you know, that when she's going to be somewhere or do something. I mean, you just trust. And that's the same way it is with you and God. He says things in His Word that you can take to the bank. Can you trust in the sovereignty of God for your life? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know if He really knows how this is going to work out, so I'm going to help Him all I can. He doesn't need your help. He just needs you to trust Him. You depend on Him, and you allow Him to speak to you and comfort you like a father comforts his child. The last one is trouble or tribulations. Trials, tribulations. You know, something that glues people together is when something difficult happens. It's easy to be friends in the good times. But what happens when your friend's name is dragged through the mud? Can that friend count on you? What happens when everyone else abandons your friend? Will you abandon your friend? What happens when they've messed up? When they've royally messed up? Are you still there for them the way that you would want somebody to be there for you? At your greatest hurt, wouldn't you want people to rally around you and not excuse it away and not act like you didn't do anything dumb, but yet they're there for you? And they're loving you back into a healthier place. Now that's what Galatians 6:2 is talking about. To restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Well, in the same way, we begin to have an intimacy with God when we go through troubles and when we go through tribulations and trials, when we have things stripped from us that we leaned on and expected. We just assumed was always going to be there. And then all of a sudden the props are knocked out from underneath us. And here we are alone. Here we are by ourselves. It's just me and you, God. And you know what? When it's just you and God, you realize God's all you need. You can make it. And all of a sudden, your spiritual growth moves forward exponentially because you've trusted God, not just in the good times, you've trusted Him in the troubles and in the difficulties. You say, how do I grow in my walk with Christ? Time, talk, and then you have, trust. And troubles or tribulations. And so let me move on. Well, Paul was trying to say, I want to know him in all of these areas. We talked about it last week. But let's move on to the next, because I want to get through this. Paul, he says this. Let me move back in verse 13. He says this, or verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. You can circle that word, press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I've gripped him and he's gripped me. I've got him and he's got me. The same thing that grips my soul is gripping him. And he's gripped me. He's not letting me go and I'm not letting him go. Somebody said, can a believer lose his salvation? Well, I don't want to think about it because I don't want out. And for the record, no, you can't lose your salvation. Those who have genuinely given their life to Christ cannot lose their salvation. In John 10, 27 through 29, it's clear that he will not let us out of his hands. You'll not be out of the Father's hands. And guess what? You're part of his hands. You're part of the body of Christ. He's not going to cut part of his body off. That's a simplified explanation. But you can't lose your salvation. But there's really an even better way to think about it. I mean, who do you know that wants out? People who have lived in the world for many years, lived far from God for many years, and then all of a sudden they give their life to Christ, and they experience the peace and joy, and they experience this new life in Christ, and they don't want out. And so the same thing that's gripping them, they're gripping. And it's like a bone to a bulldog. That bulldog's not letting that bone go. God's not letting us go. And guess what? I'm not letting him go. That's the point. God preserves, but then we persevere. And that's what the perseverance of the saints is all about. Where he says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Every single one of us can be tempted to do this, to lean back on our successes or to lean back on our failures. And whenever we lean back on our successes, we do not strive for the future. We're not anticipating the future. We lean back on our successes and we build monuments to the past. And that's where you get traditionalism and formalism and all of this dead religion. Why? Because we just continue to focus so much on the past. And the past was great. The past was good memories. But think of the Apostle Paul were here. He would say, great, y'all had a great past. Moving on. But sometimes we also have the temptation of not turning loose of our past bad times, of failures in the past. And Paul is also saying, I'm forgetting those things as well. How can you reach forward to the future? You've got to turn loose of the past. You can't allow the past to dictate your future, no matter if it's a success or if it's a failure. Did you know there are many times on a Sunday morning that I feel, like I wish I could do better? And that's just the truth. Like I said, I'm just being transparent. And so I'll ask Lydia. She's very unbiased. I mean, she's just an encourager mostly, but she'll tell me the truth. She told me the other day, she said, that didn't make sense what you said at that time. Well, I know that she's telling me the truth. But I'll ask her, there's this one statement I'll ask her, and basically it's a transition for me in my mind. I'll say somewhere in Sunday afternoon, I'll say, honey, is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to share about this morning? And basically it's saying, I'm closing the book on that day, and I'm moving forward. I don't give myself much time to just dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it. If it was one that I didn't really feel great about, I move on. If it was a great one, I move on. We have spiritual highs. We have camp meetings. We have revivals. We have wonderful things that go on in the life of a church or in your life as a family. And I'm saying, instead of dwelling on the past, you can remember it, but don't memorialize it. Hold on to those wonderful memories, but then move on. close the book, close that chapter, because as long as you dwell in that past, you can never do what God wants you to do in your future. And Paul says, this is the one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I forget about the churches that I've planted, and I reach forward to the churches that are still yet to be planted. I forget about the people I've won to Jesus, and I look forward to the people that still need to hear about Jesus. I forget about the wonderful victories and answers to prayer and miracles I've seen under my hands. And I look forward and see other hurting people that need to experience miracles and need to experience the touch of God in their life. The only way I can do this is if I forget about this. You say, well, it's almost like you don't care about that. Now, we didn't say that. But he did say that he would forget about it. Why? So that one day there could be on a monument of some kind, it would say, Paul, he was born this time, he died this time, he died climbing. He died climbing. Could that be said of us? The easiest thing for us to do is to give up. Easiest thing in the world to do is to give up. Something difficult happens. Something comes a stumbling block for you. Maybe you've made some boneheaded decisions, and it's just hurt you. You've damaged yourself. You've hurt yourself. And you're accepting it. You're not saying that you're making excuses for it. You say, I acknowledge this. But yet, God, can he still make something out of this? Yes. He can still use you right where you are. That's what redemption is. He uses you where you are. And he turns you into something that you have never imagined if you just give him the chance to do it. But so often we say, well, I can't do that because of this. Because of this thing that happened in my past. Or why do we need to do that? Look at what we did. Look at all these wonderful memories that we had over here. And God's word is telling us, forget those things which are behind and press forward to the things which are ahead. As long as you still have breath in your lungs, as long as you still have strength in your body, as long as you still have another prayer to pray, then do those things that God puts on your heart to do and die climbing. Amen. Die climbing. So he released his past. Some of us have had difficult past. Some of us have had things happen to us that are just atrocities. And I'm sorry about that. I really am. I mean, there's so many people who I've talked to that have had issues that have happened to them, no fault of their own, because of sin in someone's life, because someone mishandled them, mistreated them. And here's the point. You're still allowing that to dictate your future if you don't move away from it and no longer allow it to dictate your future. So you forget not just your failures. Have you ever failed at anything? Can I tell you, I've failed more than I've succeeded? And you could probably say the same thing. I have made such bad mistakes, and yet I just keep getting back up. I don't have enough sense to quit. And you shouldn't either. Somebody says, well, don't you know that you tried that several times ago and you think you'd learn by now? No. No, you just get back up and you change course a little bit. I had Josiah, we had these the bunk beds, and he was on this one, the railing for the bed is thinner than this. And he was standing on it, and all of a sudden I turn, and next thing you know, I hear something, right? And there was a desk behind it, and he just landed all behind, he fell backwards, he's fumbling all over his desk and stuff, and he's on the ground through the chair, you know what I mean? It was just a royal fall. And I turn around, and I say, son, that's why you shouldn't be standing on that rail, right? Like a good parent says. Right after it happens, you say, be careful, right? You just say that after. Anyways, But you know what? About a minute and a half later, there he is. He's standing on it again. And I said, son, you think you'd learn by now that you're going to fall? And he said, no. It's because I had socks on. And I don't have socks on now. So I'm okay. Now, just a new approach. We can make this happen. Now listen, that's what success looks like. We can continue to, you know, we're going to fail. But what happens to the child of God? We get back up. You make two steps forward and you go three steps backwards. And you say, what am I to do? Forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward and moving forward and pressing forward to the goal. This one thing that I do, God still has a ministry for you. God still has a plan for you. God still has another mountain for you. He does. I was thinking about Caleb. And here he is. He's not my son Caleb, but Caleb in the Bible. And here he is. He's 120 years old. And he's entering the promised land. He tells Joshua, he says, let me have that mountain that's got all of these giants in it and stuff. Let me have that mountain. I'm going to go take it. Now, you could easily say, Caleb, calm down. You know, let your sons do that. Let somebody else help you with that. But yet for you and I, what is that next thing for us? What has God spoken to us about? Not collectively, individually. What does he want you to do right now? He speaks to every single one of us all the time about what his plans are for our lives, how to grow in Christ's likeness, how to get closer to him. What is he telling you to do? Forget those things which are behind and press on for the next thing and die climbing. I'm going to read this and then we'll be done. You may have read this or heard this somewhere else. I think I shared it on a Sunday morning. But there was a young African pastor, and this was found among his papers in Zimbabwe after he was martyred. And they were collecting his papers, and he had written this. A veteran missionary, he was Lewis Robinson Chapman in Africa, 1920 to 1940. And he wrote this, and just listen. I'm a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his and I won't look back. Let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set. My pace is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he does come for his own, he'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, tonight, I just know that there's somebody in this room who has had a past that they need to let go of. You've been speaking through this whole message that it's time for them to let it go. to let the failure go, to let that hurt go, to let the atrocity that happened as a child, to let it go, to let go the bitterness that has resulted from failed relationships, failed friendships, backstabbing coworkers, unanswered prayers that are unexplainable, to let go of those failures and to see you as the God of today and the God of the future. And you still have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, there's somebody here who has just glorified the past. They continue to stay there. And Lord, we praise you for what you did in the past. We praise you for ministries that you've seen flourish, activities that you've seen succeed, people who have given their life to Christ, worship services that have been incredible, mission trips that have won people to your Son Jesus. And yet you are a today God. You are the great I am. Not I was, but I am. The God of now. And Lord, we no longer want to see, we no longer want to just talk about the revivals that took place 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when bars were closed, when people fell to their knees, when whole communities came to the church house. Lord, we want to see what you want to do today. We want to see what that looks like now. We want to trust you in the present. Father, we do not want to talk about the Sunday school class that we taught for years and years. We want to talk about what you want us to do right now. We praise you for how good you used us in the past. We do. But what is that assignment that you have for us right now? Lord God, I just pray that new ministries are birthed in this church, that new mountains are taken for the gospel in our lives individually. New relationships are formed, new friendships, new bonds made. We look forward to the future. We no longer lean on those successes. We no longer look back with despair on that past. Help us, Lord, know that joy comes when we press forward. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed. Thank y'all.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.